This episode is brought to you by Rain Clothing.
That's R-A-N-E Clothing. Check them out on Facebook. Check out their roster of bands as well.
Rain Clothing, on a mission for music.
This is Mandy Lee, and you are listening to Let the Hate Flow Through You with Jeremy Shear and El Jordano Diablo.
Weekly dose of audible hatred. I'm Jeremy Shear,
El Jordano Diablo,
and this week we're taking a trip to the country, and we have no better guide. Joining us this week is the host of Country Gold, a new country music history podcast, America's Tim Cornette.
Howdy. It's actually not available yet. When we scheduled this, it was going to be because this show actually has producers now, so it's like I've gotten a little help, so it's all good. We're getting a proper website built for it, but I already it should be up by
how does Comedy Gold work?
It's Country Gold.
Comedy Gold. That I'm never gonna figure that out.
The podcast is it will be a weekly lesson in country music brought to you by country music artist and historian Buck Wild, and every week we go into the into a different aspect of country music, a different time, a different period. The first episode, I can just run through the list of the first six. We're doing Ernest Tubb, who's like the first like real honky tonk artist. He's the first guy who did electric guitar in country. Really big influence on most country. The second episode will be Silent Majority and Merle Haggard, which ties Trump's election, Nixon, Vietnam to Merle Haggard, which it all kind of like circles together. Third will be the comedy of Reba McEntire, focusing in on
Reba.
Yeah, on Reba, and the part of her career that maybe isn't as appreciated as much is her pretty stellar comedy and acting career.
She's no Dolly, though.
She's a different time. She's a whole generation
later.
That's
very true.
So I don't know if they're comparable. Then we're doing some Nashville sound. We're going to do a roundtable of country music memories with recording artist Nikki Lane, who I can get you to check out, and some other people. And we're going to do a biography of Buck Owens, and then we're going to put those out.
Yeah. Right now, I have a question about this, about Country Gold. Are you going to do an episode about the Honky Tonk Man, the wrestler, the Intercontinental Champion?
That's not a terrible idea. We'll see how it goes. But
he's cool.
Not...
He's cocky. He's bad.
I'm...
He's been touring the indies ever since his stint in the WWE.
Oh, he's still alive?
Yeah,
he's still alive.
Still alive.
I saw him live in California in 2001.
Well, guys, I'm going to see what I can do about getting in touch with the Honky Tonk Man.
I like that.
If I could talk about the Honky Tonk Man's musical influences, that's not a bad idea.
He was the first Intercontinental Champion, wasn't he?
No, that was Pat Patterson.
He was like one of the longest reigning then.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what it was.
But,
Wrestling Gold.
Yeah.
But I also do that's my upcoming project. That's the, my current project is a daily call to the president,
right?
called Hello, Mr. President. It's me, Tim. That is available at callthepresident.com. And I do that every day, Monday through Friday.
So you can listen to a lot of Tim Cornette. He's a man with a lot of opinions, and that's why we have him here tonight.
I am a man with a lot of opinions.
Essentially, what you could say is we're doing a spinoff of Country Gold this evening.
You could say that. Tim, why do you hate Billy Ray Cyrus?
Billy Ray Cyrus, as you guys know, sang the song Achy Breaky Heart.
Yes.
Do we need to pause for a moment so he can play a clip?
No.
No, I think everybody has heard that song. In the English-speaking world, everybody's heard that.
I think now would be a good time for a clip. I think you can get away with about 30 seconds of it, since we're critiquing it.
That's what Glenn Danzig would sue us for, is putting him on the same podcast as Billy Ray Cyrus.
Yeah, we have enough licensed music problems as is. So there will be no clip of Billy Ray Cyrus.
If you want to YouTube it, YouTube it. Don't buy it on iTunes.
Yeah, yeah, do not give the Cyrus family any
Don't
more
even
money.
Listen to it on Spotify.
No, just that's like 1 cent.
YouTube that.
That song came out, and it was that single song that ruined country music. Now, you can argue before that, Garth Brooks came out before that, and Garth Brooks ruined country music.
Garth Brooks was out before Billy Ray Cyrus?
Yes, yeah. Garth Brooks came out in about 89, but he got really big 91, 92.
Oh, I thought he got bigger
Way
later.
Way big. He was like the first country artist to like really appeal to the world. He was going on worldwide tours and stuff as a so-called country music artist. I found a great quote the other day by Waylon Jennings that said, Garth Brooks is to country music what pantyhose are to finger fucking.
Wait, who said that?
Waylon Jennings.
That's amazing. Yeah. I always liked his kid too.
Yeah.
Shooter.
It's pretty much the same stuff.
Yeah.
I'm Shooter Jennings. Pew pew. That's my Shooter Jennings imitation.
Not. I mean, maybe not as much as I might like Hank 3, but
you know, I just can't get into Hank 3.
Oh, I get why people can't get into Hank 3.
I love Hank. If this was a Let the Love Flow Through You, I would defend Hank Williams Jr.
See that?
Right
see
now.
That? I see. I like him. I like to skip a generation because I don't like Jr. But I like the other
people. People misunderstand Hank Williams Jr.
Let the Love Flow Through You is actually recorded at Andromeda Studios,
as Facebook has recently taught us.
Yeah. Thanks, Mike Calhoun. But my exposure to Achy Breaky Heart was actually through my youngest sister's ballet recital, where that was the big number.
What?
Yeah, they had a bunch of 4 to 6 year olds doing ballet to Achy Breaky Heart, and that's where I learned about the song.
See, now it blows my mind that you're still here. I'm starting to think you might be a zombie, because if you had to go through that now, I feel like you would everybody been gone.
Yeah.
like first of all, you would not be in a room filled with 4 to 6 year old ballerinas.
I don't think you're allowed in a room with 4 to 6 year olds.
That would be worth
That's
looking
a joke.
Into.
Jeremy's very good with kids.
Yeah, no, Jeremy is actually hilariously good with kids. Like, babies fall asleep on him. People like children trust him, which makes their parents very nervous. It's a very funny thing to witness.
It doesn't make all the parents
nervous. No, it doesn't make all the parents nervous. Jeremy, I think we're taking a little too much time confirming Jeremy. I mean, Jeremy's fine. He's a great guy. Yeah, that's really... But that's not country music. Like, that kind of illustrates the point. Ballerinas, little girl ballerinas, should not be able to dance to country music.
No.
Like... Would you put little girls out there to dance to I'm So Lonesome I Could Cry? No. Would you put them out there to Crazy by Patsy Cline?
Sunday morning coming down.
The bill I have for breakfast. Aw. That's
it's
adorable.
So cute.
Wasn't bad. Yeah. Sit down in the front. You're blocking my child.
Just singing. Little four-year-olds running around with empty bottles of Miller White. They're...
I think I've
it's
gotten...
David Allen Coe at the ballerina.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, dude, well, I guess in the South they'd be like, oh, well, it's the Johnny Rebel recital.
Yeah. Now twirl.
Oh, dude.
Twirl while slinging racial slurs, little Becky. That's what I paid for.
In this case, it's little Miley.
Little Miley, yeah.
All right, so going back to the point, though, that song ruined country music is your argument.
Yes. Now, Garth Brooks coexisted with other great early 90s country music artist. It was like, some of, if you go back and listen to it now, it was kind of overproduced. But you forget, like, around that time, Doug Stone, who was very, like, singer-songwriter-y. Same thing with Mary Chapin Carpenter. Like, Mary Chapin Carpenter would be, like, a lesbian act now. Like, all of
Doug Stone. Melissa Etheridge of country?
Yeah, like, she was very Melissa Etheridge-y. Etheridge-ish. Etheridgeal.
You put them together, you get Etheridge-i.
Etheridge-i, yeah. You know, like, they were, like, sensitive songs. And then Billy Ray Cyrus came out, and people just glommed onto it, and they just wouldn't let it go. It was this monster hit, and I was like 12 years old when I came out, and I'm like, music I used to like is now something I do not like. How come they are only playing this song? And it was like, it was for weeks at number one. It crossed over into pop success.
Yeah. Oh,
so
yeah.
I grew up listening to country music in an area where nobody else listened to country music.
Yeah, you say, had GAR around here, and that's it.
Yeah, you could say I was country when country wasn't cool.
Tim Cornette, the hipster of country.
Yeah, well, that's a... Sorry, I'm going to explain the reference to be a more hipster of a country, so it'll be like a snake eating its own tail. But that is actually a Barbara Mandel song.
Oh, okay.
And then George... like, and there's a live version of it. Like, she's like, I was country when country wasn't cool. And then George Jones comes out and he's like, I was country. And she's like, yeah. It's just a song where you're like, oh, this woman definitely had to sleep with George Jones. That's what most 70s country duets actually are. Like,
okay.
They are inappropriate relationships.
Are you saying June Carter was like, I had to sleep with Johnny Cash?
She didn't have to. That was the 60s. And the people were like, oh, I have to have that. Why is Tom Jones singing with Tanya Tucker? She's a 14-year-old girl, and this is very sexual. And Tom Jones was like, it's 70s, I don't care. So, forward.
And Conway Twitty was pretty much the same.
Conway Twitty is very troubling, because I love him, but a lot of his songs.
Oh, dude, no, that man is definitely, was definitely a child fucking...
It was different.
Predator.
It was different back then.
In the 70s?
In the South in the 70s,
you can
was
fuck
a very
kids
different,
and it was okay.
I mean, yeah, I'm not Jeremy.
don't look
it
at
happened.
Me to be your moral... I know it happened.
It's like one of those David Bowie was sleeping with 13-year-old
That's
girls.
That's true, he was.
Jerry Lee Lewis was sleeping with his own 13-year-old
cousin.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a different time, and, you know, translated today, it's like, boy... You know, as somebody that, like, things like that drive him insane, that's very hard to separate the artist from the crime there.
Well, imagine, okay, but the see, now take that feeling, but imagine it happening in an auditorium with people, like, cheering you on, like, woo! I really was, and the reason
seduce
I
brought that
up,
kid, seduce that kid.
The reason,
like, it's an episode of Jerry Springer.
The reason I brought it up, I was watching a Tanya Tucker, Tom Jones duet, and it was like, it was, I think they were singing Help Me Make It Through the Night, which is an inappropriate song to sing with a 14-year-old. Mm. And I was watching this on YouTube, the most modern of things.
Right.
And like, even the comments now were like, oh, Tanya, you lucky heifer. Did you? I know you did. Like all, what? Like a bunch of comments from jealous women about,
dude, I like, that's why I never go into the YouTube just comment section on anything. I know it can provide a lot of entertainment, but I get about three in and I'm just like, I'm gonna explode. My brain is gonna fucking explode.
I learned my lesson the first time I read the comments on a video I did with Polk.
And the one you showed me?
Not that one.
Oh, okay.
Well, oh, videos you're in? Yeah, no, don't read those.
Yeah, never.
I like to read other ones, though. I like, there's the game of how long does it go till it's racist? Usually 5 or 6.
I remember when I did the, that short film I did with fucking Chris Roll.
Roll.
Sorry, Chris, if you're listening, I'm just drinking, so whatever. I remember reading the comment in one of the Facebook posts. It was like, why would anybody believe this kid upset about this girl would actually get a girl that liked him that much. He's fat, he's bald, and he's wearing a Black Sabbath t-shirt. And I was like, I'm going to take that as a compliment.
I mean, that was kind of on the nose, buddy.
It's like, what is everybody else blind? Why did you need to say it?
Yeah. That was kind of one of the wonderful things about that video. So, you know, fuck right off, anonymous Facebook commenter.
And also, fuck right off, Billy Ray Cyrus.
Yeah, we haven't even...
we haven't scratched the surface.
Yeah, sorry, we really got derailed, which I apologize.
That happens on the show, it's fine.
Billy Ray...
Billy Ray, right there, his name alone.
That's actually it. His name is Billy Ray Cyrus.
Where are they from?
He has a mullet.
Isn't he, like... I know it's, like, from somewhere you're like, wait, you're not even, like, fucking for real country.
I think he's real... Are
they from Georgia?
I'll look it up
and
on
I
Google.
And I say they, like his fucking daughter, who I have more respect for than her father.
Why? Why would you?
Why would I have more respect for her?
Yeah.
Because she wrote a couple... Well, she didn't write them. She performed a couple really catchy fucking songs.
Oh, well...
I can't say that with
familiar... Achy Breaky Heart is apparently very catchy.
To whom?
Billy Ray Cyrus was born in Flatwoods, Kentucky.
Oh, Kentucky?
Oh.
That's not too south, man. Come on.
Kentucky is a very specific area of the... I've lived in Kentucky. It's not the same as the rest of the South, but it does not surprise me that Billy Ray Cyrus is from Kentucky.
Yeah.
That's...
However, he went to Georgetown College on a baseball scholarship, and that's where he discovered music.
Is that the Georgetown in Kentucky? It's the one in Washington.
Yes.
I was going to say the Ivy League school?
Yes, it's the Christian Liberal Arts College in Kentucky.
Oh, okay. Everything you just said makes me want to blow my own head off.
There are a legion of beautiful blonde women. I mean, I don't know now. It's like when I lived there. Like, that was like...
A legion. A myriad, if you
like,
will.
Like, you walk in, and it's like, it's all the women on Fox. Like, they're probably all the women on Fox News, but you're like, oh my
like
God.
Like, Kellyanne Conway when she might have been pretty?
Yeah. Oh, come on. You can hate Trump. Don't tell me you wouldn't do that.
Dude, after I saw her compared to Bib Fortuna from Star Wars, I was like, I'll never see her. And also, I saw one today that was her of Eddie from Iron Maiden, which was fucking perfect.
Yeah, that sounds wonderful. I just, No, I have a problem that I can't get an erection for girls that I don't want to talk to. So it's like when I find out my favorite porn stars are racist. It's like, aw, now it's ruined. So
are you doing a lot of background research on your porn stars?
No, things come out, Tim.
Fill out this questionnaire.
Before I jerk off, you need to fill this out.
I'm going to sit here. I'm going to have my dick in my hand. And let's talk about politics before we get this thing done.
Oh, God.
Call me a libtard. Oh, yes. Yes.
Oh, shit. Fuck Billy Ray Cyrus. God damn.
No, with men, it's different. Men, I want them to have differing political opinions because it's a power thing.
Yeah, you want to fuck a conservative in the ass, I get it.
But like a real old-fashioned one, like, ah!
Like Newt Gingrich.
Yeah, oh my God, Newt Gingrich, yeah.
I would totally fuck Newt Gingrich
Newt
in the
Gingrich
ass.
Would put cigarettes out on you.
Jeremy, a callback to when we were on the Lousy Weather Media main show, which I went back and listened to. We were talking about how we were talking about jerking off for some reason on that show. And you were like, things get weird sometimes. You're like, I was on a lot of meds and I couldn't come. So it's like, I made some joke. And you're like, no, it's more like punch me in the face while I hold this toy.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's very accurate to where I was back then. Now it's just gotten weird. It's gotten very weird.
All right, let's go back to Billy Ray Cyrus then.
Well, you guys were going down that road about a private joke that I am not a part of.
It was just what Jeremy said, though.
It's like, hey, Jeremy, do you remember that thing? And I was just left
out.
It
gave you time to prepare, man.
Yeah. That's what it was.
This is all planned.
We script this show.
100% scripted.
I'm reading about the song right now. The single topped in several countries after being featured on Tops in the Pops in the United Kingdom. It became the first ever to achieve triple platinum status in Australia.
That means 3 million fucking copies.
In Australia alone. It was performed by Billy Ray Cyrus on his 1992 album, Some Gave All, which...
Pandering to the troops.
Damn straight it was pandering to the troops. Do you know
millennial crowd, that's Desert Storm.
I don't know that song, but I just from the title, I can guess what that's about.
That is a very good good guess. Some Gave All. And he did a cover of These Boots Are Made for Walkin'. Then, let's not forget about Billy Ray Cyrus just didn't end it there. Okay, his music career was pretty much fizzled. They stopped playing him on country radio after a few years. But the damage was already done. Look at everybody that came in his wake. The Kenny Chesneys. I don't even really pay attention anymore. The guy
Brooks
that sings
and
all
Dunn.
The... Brooks and Dunn came around this time. They got progressively worse. They went like the achy breaky route. Previously, good people were like, oh, we need to make our music way dumber.
Would Tim McGraw fall under this?
Tim
or
McGraw
no?
is a perfect example. He was wave one in the Billy...
In the Billy Wave Cyrus
is what we're gonna call it. It's just once the Billy Wave Cyrus hit, it just destroyed all the previous institutions. It was like a lot of overly produced drum music. It was made for an international audience, which meant it had to be like dumb. Lone Star. Who's now? All these crossover guys.
Look. The girl I lost my virginity to in high school, we reconnected after a year, and she had gone from Manson Kid to listening to the Hot 9 at 9 every single night, and she put on Lone Star and said, I want this to be our song, and that's when I knew it was never going to work out.
Baby, I'm amazed by
that
you.
That one. That's the one.
Bum, bum. It took me a second to think of it. Yeah. Like, it just turned country. Pop became so bad, they turned country into dumb people soccer mom music.
Yeah.
That's actually, it's the demographic shift in country music. It's like, before then, we cared about the lonely single drinking man into...
To this day, nobody cares about the lonely single drinking man.
There's no music
for
you.
Are we blaming this?
There's no music for you.
Are we blaming this on Billy Ray Cyrus? Because I'm down with that.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
He was the first one that was like, you can be really dumb about this. Like, really dumb. Like, four little child ballerinas can now dance to this.
Yeah.
So Billy Wave Cyrus happened. And after, I would say...
It's like the new wave of metal, Billy Wave Cyrus.
Yeah. And it destroyed country music. It's always been cyclical, you know? It's always gone to where it's like, a little more mountainy or a little more traditional to a little more produced.
Well, there was like all the stuff in like the 50s and 60s.
Yeah.
And then the 70s changed and guys like Johnny Cash adapted and changed.
Exactly. So you have so in the 50s you have like kind of mountainy, kind of bluegrassy kind of sounds. So
chucka chucka stuff.
Yeah, chucka chucka. Let's get together. We have a bunch. We don't have teeth. We have a bunch of instruments. We dropped out of school in the third grade, and we've dedicated our lives to playing this instrument. Watch us work. So, but then you have country music coming through, making it a little more poppy. Patsy Cline is like this.
Yeah, I like Patsy
Conway Twitty. Yeah, a lot of great music came out of that. And it's all tied in with the birth of Nashville as not only just like the music center of the South, but as like kind of a cosmopolitan city. Like, you can live in the South and actually have it be like
and,
a city.
And be hoity-toity.
Yeah, yeah. And it's a little hoity-toity. You can put on a music, you can have albums.
You can wear a suit.
They all wore suits.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Before then, it was called hillbilly music, and people like insisted everybody wear overalls.
Overalls, so like, and no t-shirt.
Yeah, yeah. And they're like, ooh, and it's like the banjo player made jokes. So they're like, we're going to glitz this up. We're going to get some respect. A lot of great music came out around that time, but then they're like, this is too much. It's too rigid. The Bakersfield sound came out of that. Buck Owens, Merle Haggard. That's a lot of that Spanish influence-y kind of country music. The Texas stuff has a lot of the Mexican influence just done in a different way, in addition to the more country stuff. So that all kind of came out in the 70s where we're like, all right, we're going to do that. Then in the 80s, it bounced back. Okay, there was definitely a disco influence on country music.
See, 70s. I'm not familiar with country music in the 80s, like, okay. At all. So
the Nashville sound, that 50s kind of pop cosmopolitan thing, it kind of kept on going all the way through the 70s, where it got very disco-y and very weird. It was 70s country music that introduced Olivia Newton-John to America. She was originally a country artist.
Oh.
Which is crazy when you think about nowadays, because Corey had on my girlfriend Corey. She's a previous guest. She had on RuPaul's Drag Race, and Olivia Newton-John was one of the contestants. And I'm like, you used to be on country radio. Like, why are you sitting there judging RuPaul? Like,
that's kind of awesome, though.
Country music should be against judging RuPaul. Like, it should be like, you just do what you want to do, RuPaul.
Like, I'm gonna write a song about you.
Yeah, and then it was when she came out with Let's Get Physical that the traditional country music audience was like, fuck this whore.
Wait, are you telling me like Olivia Newton-John was like the original Taylor Swift?
Yeah, Patsy Cline.
Patsy Cline, okay, all right. Because I was going to say, like, that, like, Let's Get Physical, that is in no way country music.
Yeah, Patsy Cline had a lot of success, too.
I'm just familiar with, like, the Patsy Cline, like, her singing with the fucking slide guitar and shit. That's, like, what I know.
Yeah. But. And, they put her in ball gowns, and she sang like this. So, country music got very, very disco-y and coked out in the 70s. And they were doing all sorts of crazy.
That seems like the
drugs.
Perfect lead into Billy Ray Cyrus then.
Well, that's when the bounce back happened. Things got a little more traditional. Ricky Skaggs, Randy Travis, these guys tended to lean a little bit more.
Dwight Yoakam?
Dwight Yoakam is perfect.
I like Dwight Yoakam.
Dwight Yoakam's interesting in his own way because he was never really like accepted by traditional Nashville. He like just did his own thing out in LA opening for punk bands. Or opening for punk bands and playing in punk venues, then like from there made it back onto country radio, but very popular around that time. Then it got a little more produced again, and it was like that was Garth Brooks coming in, making it a little more popular.
Rascal Flatts.
Rascal Flatts came later in the Billy Wave Cyrus. I couldn't even tell you what Rascal Flatts sing, but I know it makes me want to spit when you say it.
And not chewing tobacco either.
Yeah,
just spit.
Like, because this was good music, and it's like kind of our cultural heritage, you know?
Country music?
Yeah.
I can agree with that.
This is something that we have taken, and it's a direct continuation of the folk music that we just used to sing ourselves. So it's like, it's all about tradition.
He means white people.
No, I mean everybody.
I'm just kidding.
Because it's like, you people will say that, but...
You people.
Rock and rollers is what he means.
You people.
You people will say that, but it happened alongside the blues music.
Okay.
And it was definitely a lot of it, like, a lot of the instruments are straight up slave instruments, you know? The banjo has African roots.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, in terms of this popularity of Iggy Breaky Heart, like, I remember not seeing a lot of around that time, also, commercials for, like, line dancing instructional videos came out. And
remember when line dancing was a thing?
Yes.
Achy breaky heart is the reason your dad bought a cowboy hat.
Yeah, I mean, it became, like, you'd see those commercials on TV, you'd see, like, that we had places around here where you could go line dance. And I just remember it happening all around that time.
One of them around here, if anybody at home cares about country music, they will think this is funny. One of them was called the Boot Scootin' Saloon.
The Boot Scootin' Saloon. We all know, if you're from Ohio, Northeast, you remember the Boot Scootin' Saloon because it was where they always had underage drinking problems.
Yeah, I remember because I went there to underage drink. That's actually, because I was like, oh, I know the Boot Scootin' Boogie. I want to be an underage drunk.
Mm-hmm.
I can. It's. Oh, it was.
All sounds so awful.
It really is. That's like never before in country music were dance lyrics ever put in. Like instructions of what to do in country music is very offensive. Up, down, turn around.
Yeah. It's all trash.
It's all trash.
How about just fucking smoke weed like Waylon Jennings did? And fucking do speed and heroin like Johnny Cash did. Drink a bunch.
Waylon Jennings did all those drugs.
Oh, he did all of those too? Yeah, I just thought he was a weed guy.
No, Willie Nelson is a weed guy. Waylon Jennings is an everything guy.
I see?
Waylon Jennings
No wonder I always liked him.
Took so many drugs.
That's good stuff.
So many drugs. He used to share a room with Johnny Cash.
Yeah.
And they used to hide each other's drugs from each other and find each other's drugs and then do them.
Man.
That sounds like fucking previous roommate relationships I've had in my early 20s.
Yeah, that sounds like if we had lived together.
That's 100%.
Yeah, here's Shears Adderall. Well,
well, I can't find any Vicodin, so this is what I have to do.
I found the coolest Johnny Cash thing the other day because I was touching up the script for the second one, Nixon and the Silent Majority. Nixon invited Johnny Cash to the White House, and Nixon was like, hey, how about you sing Okey from Muskogee and Welfare Cadillac, which are songs are pretty Republican friendly. Yeah. And Johnny Cash was like, I don't know those. And he sang Man in Black and What is Truth while everybody was watching
him. He was the fucking man,
dude. He sat there and made Nixon listen to those songs about soldiers, like the soldier or prison reform and like all the hungry people. While guys, go listen to Welfare Cadillac. If it's very offensive to your snowflake,
your snowflake will melt.
I have got to stop talking like that because people are beginning to take me seriously. I don't want to get hate mail.
Yeah. Hate mail for this episode to thehateflow@gmail.com.
Hateflow.
Yeah.
Hateflow. That's how we shorten it.
Right in.
Yeah.
Right
it even, in. Thanks to Bob Camparta, it even has emojis.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Right a little in.
Angry face and tidal wave.
Nice.
Yeah. It's wonderful.
The libtards will like that.
Yeah.
Why is there an American flag on your lip, Labatt Blue?
Because Anheuser-Busch owns it now.
You know.
Look, you know, the funny thing is, no, it's the Ohio, because it's the Columbus Blue Jackets, that's what it is.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. But still, I mean, in hockey, there you go, you know, but it's still bullshit.
I don't
stop taking my Canadian beer and making it American.
I don't drink nothing without a flag on it. Sir, this is Canadian beer. Put a flag on it.
You got a flag koozie?
It's got the maple leaf. I said an American flag. I shouldn't have to say that.
I said a flag, not a rag.
I want colors on it that don't run.
Canada. What is that flag? White and red. What do you get those together? Pink. Pinko. Fuck your communist beer. Put a motherfucking flag on
socialized
it.
Socialized medicine.
Ooh, socialized medicine. Maple syrup. Here's maple syrup for your cancer. I will punch you in your polite fucking face.
Man, once rednecks find out that they hate minorities just as much as they do in Canada, they will flock there. Flock there.
Or when all those Trump, all the Trump fugees.
The Trump fugees.
I would like to be one. I'm just not allowed in the country of Canada. And Mexico's way too hot for me to go to. So
El Hordano Diablo is not going to Mexico? What? The fuck? Come on, man. Get your shit together.
I know,
it's
right?
It's made for you down there.
Yeah, I know. It's like I got, you know, got the facial hair and everything. But they'd all, I don't know if they'd like me. They're a very Christian country. It's a very Christian culture down there.
I mean, you know.
They love Jesus, and I'm not a fan.
Yeah. Well, once you get across the point that, hey, you know, all your cartels, you know, they also worship the devil. maybe they'll take you differently.
But then I'll just end up dying of a fucking heroin overdose, dude.
Well, I mean, that's why you go down to Mexico anyway.
I mean, that's really what I... Why the fuck... This has nothing to do with Billy Ray Cyrus.
You also go down there for windsurfing.
Also Cancun.
Windsurfing and all
expenses
paid.
Where you can catch
paid.
Billy Ray Cyrus every weekend.
Yeah. Margaritas, windsurfing... Overdosing on heroin.
Take your choice. Take your pick.
Getting kidnapped for ransom because you're white. All right.
Jokes on them.
Yeah. Yeah. There's nobody going to pay your ransom. I'll set up a GoFundMe. Oh, shit.
I got to go.
You got to go?
Yeah.
All right. Pause. Due to unforeseen circumstances, this episode has been cut short. We will be back next week. Until then, goodbye. I won't apologize again. I'm a real pain offender. You can see right through my skin. I don't care about making mistakes. I keep standing up and falling on my face. Discharge my bar. Diagnosed in drunkenness. I keep my bruise and my brain edged under the punches, and I was meant to pay. This has been a Lousy Weather Media Network production. Find new episodes and archives at lousyweathermedia.com.